cherish our memories and above all to support one another in our grief. But we also come to rejoice in the many and varied gifts he received from God and used in service to his family, to his friends, and to his Lord. It is good to see so many of you here. Mary and the whole family hope and pray that this service will provide you all with an opportunity to give thanks and to reflect on him and all that he was throughout his life. When we honour the life and death of someone we care about, we have no choice but to face death head on. This is not an easy thing to do. All of us struggle with the questions that death brings us face to face with. But it is also important to remember that we meet together to celebrate a life. As we remember Keith in death, do not lose sight of the fact that Keith lived a life committed to the truth of Jesus Christ and the care, support, and love of his family and friends. We look not to things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Today we come together to remember before God our brother Keith, to give thanks for his life, and to provide comfort to one another in our grief. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we praise your name for all that have finished this life loving and trusting you, for the example of their lives and the life and grace you gave them and the peace in which they now rest. We praise you for your servant Keith, for all that you did through him. Meet us in our sadness and fill our hearts with praise and thanksgiving for the sake of our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you please stand for our first hymn? Now thank we all our
Thank you.
first reading speaks to us that, and says that even in the depths of grief, hope may be found in the steadfast love of God. Chanel, would you like to?
Reading from Lamentations 3, verses 22 to 26. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord.
Thank you very much. Our second hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Will you please stand? Focus on that particular hymn when on the left-hand side of the page in the top corner is a picture of Keith dressed as a woodland fairy. Her costume must have taken some designing and quite a lot of pluck to wear. now remain seated for our tribute, John.
Dear Dad, it doesn't seem long since we said goodbye, giving our blessing to you to leave your body and go to be with your Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, your Creator and Shepherd, whom you have known and loved for so many years. I'm so glad that you left this world peacefully with your family gathered around you in your home. I have so much to thank you for. Your love for Jesus Christ and your experience of his love for you was the solid foundation on which all your other relationships and areas of your life were built. I'm grateful for all the years you taught me and other children in Sunday school, and for taking me to a vibrant church every Sunday of my childhood years. While it was inevitable that you awarded me 100% Sunday School Attendance Awards year after year, I gained something more valuable from you: the knowledge and experience of God's unconditional love and value for me by the way you lived every day of the year. The Bible says that God's love is patient and kind. His love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. God's love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. God's love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. When I think of how you lived your daily life, you did a very good job at demonstrating what that definition of love looks like with skin on. And I think many of us would agree that you can. In the 57 years I knew you, I never heard you shout in anger or lose your temper once. You were always gentle, patient, forgiving and kind. You weren't perfect. You could be grumpy and stubborn. And you faced many struggles with doubt and fear and the challenges of ill health. But you chose to trust in God consistently, and you never gave up. Your example has inspired me and many others to imitate you in trusting God when life is difficult and to keep on going with tenacity. I'm grateful that you passed on to me and many others a great devotion to, respect for, and enjoyment of the Bible as God's love letter to us, his wayward children. I remember as a teenager when you invited me to read through the Bible with you in 1 year, encouraging me to copy you in a lifelong habit of reading the Bible daily and systematically. You didn't do this as a dry religious duty, but with the hunger, passion, excitement, and humility to learn something new about our wonderful Creator, Father God, every day. In the last few years of your life, you enjoyed studying the Bible's teaching about the end of this world, the return of Jesus Christ to rule over the nations, and God's restoration of this earth to a perfect state. Only God knows how many people around the world have discovered the joy of knowing Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, and the wonder of hearing his voice speaking to them as they read the Bible because of you. Your membership of the Gideons, which is now called Good News for Everyone, for at least 30 years, has meant that most people you and Mum have met that were willing to accept one have received free of charge part of the Bible in a language they can understand and apply to their everyday life and problems. Your love for Mum was unshakable, despite the ups and downs of life. And that love gave me and my brothers a secure environment in which we could grow and flourish. And your marriage has been a wonderful example to all the wider family, as we have grown up, as we have grown in number. You were married to Mum for nearly 59 years, and you did most things together. You both shared a care and concern for children and young people, taking hundreds of them on Christian camps and holidays over the years. Running youth clubs well into your 70s, and going to a Christian youth festival only 3 years ago with the youth of Clearbury. And even recently, you were doing school assemblies with Mum. Your great sense of fun was apparent when performing puppet sketches, acting in dramas, and laughing and joking in the family home. I'm sure that you are more full of joy now than ever, because you are with your Saviour and King. Your passion for designing and constructing buildings was a thread that ran throughout your life. My brothers and I enjoyed the excitement of clambering over the scaffolding and roof timbers as children when you extended the family home. And you continued to design and build churches, an orphanage in Thailand, homes, and a barn conversion right up until the last few years. You were kind and generous with your architectural talent, always being willing to help those in need without asking for payment. My mum writes, "How can I ever thank God enough for our friendship at school, for discovering that we had both separately heard and accepted the invitation to follow the Lord Jesus, for our amazing, fun-filled, blessed times with our sons throughout our days together as a family, especially as we used to share a meaningful Bible verse after our meal times. Then our adventures together, working with rescued Burmese youngsters in Thailand, with Keith designing family unit homes for them in Thailand, and for all our worldwide Christian family. Father God, thank you. And Keitho, see you soon. Either when he calls me home, or when the Lord Jesus returns as he promised he would. Amen." Amen. The grandchildren remember Dad with fondness. Chanel says, "I used to love visiting Nana and Grandad's house in Lighthorn Heath during the school holidays. We had so many fun days, and Grandad was always so cheerful and up for playing games with me. He was the same on family holidays and enjoyed spending time with his grandchildren very much. Grandad was very down to earth and had a brilliant sense of humour. He set an honest example of showing patience, kindness, gentleness, and generosity to all." Rachel says, "Grandad was an incredible man. He was always ready with a game or a story, very generous with his time and his patience. Growing up around Grandad, you couldn't help but appreciate his gentleness and kindness. He was a wonderful example to follow and grow up with. Being around him, you couldn't help but learn from him. I spent a lot of time with Nana and Grandad reading and learning about God, but the biggest impact Grandad had on my life was not the stories or the lessons, it was who he was. Reliable, dependable, never angry, even if you gave him reason to be. Grandad showed me what it was to live for Jesus, and his actions, more than any story he read to me, I hope to live up to his example, but he's left some huge shoes for us to fill. Finley says, I love the memory of coming down in the morning and getting to choose a cereal from the multi-packs that Grandad and Nana would get us. Then we would watch Veggie Tales in their old living room. It was always so wonderful staying over at their house. Lucas says, I remember having nice holidays as a big family that Grandad really enjoyed as we were all together. Charlie says, you were always a great Grandad and I'll miss you a lot. Kiki says she enjoyed trying to help Grandad with the crosswords that he loved doing. Thomas says, I like playing games with Grandad, even though he would always win. Dad, you were never rich or famous in the eyes of this world, but now that you have entered God's everlasting kingdom, I know that you have received a reward that is worth more than all the money, fame, or power this planet can offer. We know that your riches are all the people whose lives you have touched with the good news of God's kindness, love, and salvation through Jesus Christ. Many of them will have welcomed you with Jesus when you met him face to face a few weeks ago. And many more of us will thank you in the years ahead when we are reunited with you in our Heavenly Father's home. I know that Jesus will have said to you, well done, Keith, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I know I will see you again soon, Dad, in a new body, when we shall worship our King and Saviour, Jesus Christ, face to face, together, lost in wonder, love and praise.
So I just want to pay tribute to my dad and thank him. Being such a faithful father. And a rock to me through life's ups and downs. He is the most humble man I know. Always full of fun, grace and loving kindness towards everyone his life took. Thank you for being there all my life, showing love, wisdom, and guiding my paths. Thank you also for your example of how to be a good father and for being such a loving grandfather to my daughter Chanel. I know I will see you again. My time is up here. Until then, party on up there. By the way, I am keen to know if you can fly faster than I could ride my Yamaha FJR 1300 motorbike. 160, no, this is being recorded. Most importantly, thank you for guiding me into the deeper faith in Jesus and the peace this brings. Took me a bit longer, I think, than some others to get there. That's not the only thing I've done, of course, to deserve this, but rather the gift of God's amazing grace. Your faith is a secret to who you are. You followed Jesus all your life. You grew to know him so well. and share his love with all those around you. I would like to finish reading the verse I wrote in my dad's birthday card in May of this year, which is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 26 and verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Rest in this peace, Dad, and thank you all for being part of it.
These photographs really are the gift that keeps on giving, as I've also noticed that there is a photograph not only of Keith dressed as a fairy, but cheek by jowl with the Archbishop of Canterbury. Ashley, I wonder if there might be a lesson there. We now sing again our hymn, Bless the Lord, O My Soul, which I think is appearing on the screen. Bless the Lord, O My Soul.
Thank you.
Jerry Armstrong and from John Smallwood.
Hello everybody. Sorry no, I'm not with you today, but circumstances demand. I do want to say a few words, however, about my old pal Keith. See, Keith and I first met when I was 3 in Sunday school. He was 4. And from that time onwards, it seems that our lives have shadowed one another all the way through our youth. We came through the same Sunday school, went to the same chapel, sang in the same choir. We belonged to the same youth club. We went to the same primary schools. We passed our 11 pluses and went to the same grammar school. And 7 years through grammar school, Keith was always there, a year ahead of me. Incidentally, it was in that same grammar school that there was a girl in my class called Mary. Hello, Mary. And then, well, it just seemed that we had such a lot of fun in those teenage years. Most of our leisure was spent together with the other boys. We rode on our bikes for many miles all around Cheshire and most of Derbyshire. See, in those days there was no PlayStation and all this TikTok-y stuff. So we just did exploits and adventures together. Rambling, cycling, camping, climbing, swimming, smoking. I remember one time when we just couldn't get any fags. We got some dead conker leaves and smoked them. I can remember the taste of it to this day. Trying out about girls, unsuccessfully, I should say. They were great formative years, and Keith and I were pretty close during all that time. Then off we went to university, same university, Manchester. And we even lived in the same accommodation for all of our years there. So our lives have been very closely shadowing each other, at least mine following his. We both accepted Jesus Christ as our Saviour at equivalent times in our lives in the first year at university, him first and then me, under the very, very similar circumstances. We became Christians. Mary became a Christian at more or less the same time. The three of us had been tied together by that faith in Jesus. And then, of course, after university, our lives diverged. He married his Mary and went to live down south. I married my Mary and went to live up north in County Durham, which is where I'm speaking to you now. But even though we were separated by the miles, by the distance, by different circumstances, we were always one in our faith in Jesus and always one in spirit. We saw ourselves rarely during those 50 years. But as soon as we got together, the old thing was there still. And of course, our faith in Jesus bound us closer than ever. Now, all through those years of our youth, I lived in, I must say, in admiration and awe of Keith and his humour, especially, and his patience, and his gentle spirit. And I was proud that he was my friend. So his has been a life well spent, well lived, and lived for the glory of our mutual Lord, Jesus. If any of you think that Keith is dead, you couldn't be more wrong. In a better phase of being, he's more alive now than ever he was in an earthly body. So with that thought in mind, perhaps you'll allow me to recite this little poem in which the poet meditates on the life of his recently deceased wife. I see you did not save the bouquet of white flowers I gave, so soon they wither on your grave. Why does it hurt the heart to think of that most bitter abrupt brink where the low-shouldered coffins sink? These living bodies that we wear so change by every 7th year, that in a new dress we appear. Limbs, spongy brain, slogging heart, each part remains the self-same part. Like streams, they stay and still depart. You slicked slow bodies in the past. Why then should we be so aghast? You flung off the whole flesh at last. Let those who love you think instead that, like a woman who is wed, you undressed first and went to bed. So good night, old pal. I'll see you in the morning, definitely.
Seated now for a song, The Goodness of God, sung by Jules Blackburn.
So good.
Thank you. That was lovely. We're now going to watch a PowerPoint as we share memories of tribute from Eric and from correction. Stay in your seats just ever so slightly longer. We now have a scripture reading from Pete. Pete.
that. I've got two readings to do, both from the book, first book of Corinthians, which I find Paul's writings always interest me because he started off persecuting Christians and actually standing by while Stephen was stoned to death until he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and then boom, it all changed. And this is written by him after that. So the first reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 20 to 26. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. After that, the end will come when he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Now we come on to the second reading, which is again from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This time it's verses 50 to 58. What I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless.
So after my dramatic build-up, it now truly is time for the tribute from Eric. To know Keith and Mary over the last number of years as they fellowshipped here with us. A bit more so in the fact that we had two holidays together. One on a cruise, which I think I might write a book about one day. And another in Portugal. It's good. So we got to know Keith and Mary very well. I've put together something here that I feel has already been reflected in many of the words that have been said. I loaned to you a friend of mine, and now he's back home, safe and secure with me.
My friend has run his race, having carried with him such amazing grace. He was loaned to you, for from him you had much to learn. The gift I gave to him did not come cheap. My friend knew this, and he held it close to his heart. From my friend so much fruit grew, and he has shared this with you, with you, with you, and with you. It was not so much in what he said, but in the way he lived his life, how he loved his friends, his sons, grandchildren, and his wife. If you sat with my friend, you would have tasted this fruit. For that taste and fragrance of my friend, it lingers still. The fruit of love was so very, very plain to see. And if you sat with my friend, you had seen joy in his eyes. And if you were troubled, fearful, his peace would calm your troubled waters. If you sat with my friend, you would have found out what forbearance really means. Kindness walked with my friend, and it was so evident to see. And if I speak of goodness, then you know that he had it in abundance. If you sat with my friend, then you would know the fruit that flowed from him. Then there is his faithfulness and the never-ending faith that he had in me. And if you sat with my friend, this was not very difficult. Not difficult to see. But most of all, it was his gentleness. It was in his words and his touch. Self-control he had in abundance, much needed in this world. So if you sat with my friend, who I loaned to you, what is it that you have learned from him? What fruit did he give to you, and you, and you? When you sit with tea, coffee, and cake, share this fruit from my friend Keith, what he gave to you. Some might even say such fruit could only be given from above. And I would say, all of this was given through Christ's love. Our friend Keith.
Well, firstly, I feel like a bit of a fraud because I only met Keith in his mid-70s, so I seem to have missed out on a massive wealth of everything, really, having heard so much. But also, I'm a little bit annoyed because I searched everywhere this morning for my waistcoat and pocket watch, because that's something that Keith would, if he was here in now, he would be sat here with his waistcoat and pocket watch. And so I just wanted to share very briefly the few years that I've known Keith and Mary, and just want to challenge you a little bit. Chanel said the big shoes to fill in, and I really feel that the challenge here is the two-seater sofa in their living room. And if you go around, if you've been around to Keith and Mary's here in Clibbury, that it's a warm, welcoming house that always is door is open, and actually the bell doesn't work, and you can always sometimes just walk in. But the thing that challenges me is that Keith and Mary are a couple of prayer warriors. We've heard so much about his love for Jesus and what he did. And a couple of Sundays ago, we had baptisms. And in those baptism services, we talked a little bit about what it is to be baptized. And when you ask Jesus into your life, there's something that this theological word of justification. And as soon as you ask Jesus into your life, you're justified through faith. And that's it. Jobs are good. But then there's this other word that is sanctification. And that is becoming more and more like Jesus. And Keith was getting there. All the time, as soon as you met him, the most humble guy, and you're here today because you knew who he was. I don't need to stand here and say anything, really. But that team have just blown this community to pieces with their love. The way that they love people as you walk down the high street, as you say hello. You might end up with a book in your hand. And hopefully that book will be life-changing for you. But Keith and Mary were the team. And yeah, as I said, I feel a bit like a fraud stood here, having only known you for a short period of time. But in that time, they've made such an impact. They rocked up to our youth Bible studies at our old house. They shared with the young people that came, and some young people are skipping school to be here today. And they had Gideon Bibles because of the love that they have for Jesus and that they want to share it. So I would just like to emulate that and say, who's going to sit in that two-seater chair in the living room praying now? Because there is a lot of prayers prayed. There is a lot of reading the word. You could walk in there and the iPad and the Bible was next to where he was sat. And the challenge for us, as I see it, is who's taking up that mantle now of praying? Because Keith's already up there, he's beat us to it. But there's a lot of work to be done here, as I see it.
It's my turn. Today we sit here and we celebrate the life of Keith, and for me personally it's a huge honour to be asked by the family to share my thoughts and hopefully to tie them in some way that's better with those two passages from scripture. Let's look firstly at the book of Lamentations. Not, some would think, the most edifying book in the Bible, because it comes as a collection of poems written by a people who were in despair. Their city and their nation had been destroyed in war. Their king taken away into exile, their families killed. And they ask, not unnaturally, how can they see a future beyond the darkness of the present? Lamentations is a bleak and dark story, but right in the middle of it comes the statement that Chanel read. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The writers of Lamentations reached beyond their immediate feelings to what they once knew. And they remind themselves of the ultimate goodness of God, who loves his children. In the midst of despair, they choose hope. It is this hope, this faith, that Keith was called into when he received Jesus as Lord and Saviour while studying in 1956 in Manchester University. It is this hope that he carried in his heart throughout his life. This hope that framed his loving relationship with Mary. This hope that formed the foundation of his family life. And this hope that he carried through to the end of his earthly life. The unshakable faith was at the very heart of who Keith was. And this stoic, humble, loving, and kind man that we all knew. When he spoke, and I didn't know him that long, but I sensed it here, it was always with a deep sense of who he was and who he was serving. I have absolutely no doubt in the certainty and the unshakable faith that defined him. The door he opened in 1956, which allowed Jesus into his life. From that date on, he sat with Jesus and they shared hospitality with one another. Revelation of St. John, chapter 3, verse 20. One of his favourite verses. Listen, I am standing at the door, knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. So, here we are in Advent. Are we listening for the knock at the door? Some texts in the Bible deal with the everyday aspects of life, like not stealing, or what to eat or what not to eat. Others ask us to open up our hearts and take a step back. Paul is not afraid in our passage from Corinthians to look at these bigger questions. Where, if anywhere, does a believer like Keith go after death? Paul takes his own personal experience, like Keith's, of Christ raised from the dead. And Paul draws on the implications of this first-hand witness to the risen Christ, a hope and expectation and witness shared by Keith. For Keith's hope, like Paul's, is based on the risen Christ standing at the door, and knocking. And for all of us that believe in him, this has truly fantastic and awesome implications for us. What are these? Well, firstly, if Christ is the first fruits of an abundant harvest, there is so much more to come. There is an abundance of resurrection to be imparted to all Christ's followers. Secondly, Christ's resurrection is a reversal from the decay of death to new life, because all, and I mean all, will be made alive in Christ. All will be made well. All who have fallen from sin can be saved. Alleluia. Does that really mean all? Let me ask you a question. Are you the person you want to be? I would rather like a full head of hair. I would also like a more sylph-like physique. I'd also like to be a bit taller, maybe not quite as tall as Pete, but certainly heading more in that direction. There is much about me, dare I venture to suggest, possibly all of us, that I think God could have done a better job with. But part of our problem is our infatuation with self, thinking that somehow we are imperfect. And to make a difference, we need to be changed physically. But this is a failing. It is our limited ability to remember that it is not us that does the work, but Christ doing the work in and through us. God promises you and me the body we have always wanted. Success in anything that we do or say on behalf of God is not based on results that we can see, but rather upon our faithfulness to our call and our ability to leave the results to God. Paul says, we don't have to wonder whether or not our lives make a difference, but because Christ rose, because it is certain that we shall all be changed, because he is coming back, because the end of the book has already been written, we don't have to wonder whether or not we make a difference. We can know with absolute certainty that our own toil, our own hard work for Jesus is not in vain. And as Keith knew, it makes a difference. Someday, and it could be today, Jesus will return. The dead will be raised, and that which is corruptible or broken will be made whole or incorruptible. We will be given the body we've always wanted. But we don't have to wait until Jesus comes to be the body we are supposed to be. What I mean is this, that as the body of Christ, God has given us all we need to accomplish his will, to continue his work, and to bring the glory when he comes. We should be more concerned, as Keith was, about our spiritual body than we are about the physical person that we are. So much as what we do or say is far from perfect, and what is needed in God's strength is transformation. It is only in this way that the life we have been given by God will be brought to its intended completion. The purpose of the resurrection and the hope that was Keith's life anchor was food on his Christian journey. I will come to you and eat with you, and you with me. The food that Keith invited Jesus to share with him in 1956. This spiritual food that brought him to the longed for consummation of his life. Keith was a man that gladly pursued his labour in the Lord, not in a vain or empty promise, but knowing that perfection through transformation is the promise that comes in the resurrection of Jesus. Keith knew that Jesus was raised from the dead, the firstborn of men, incorporating in him everything in his life. Keith was going somewhere. He was on a journey with a certain outcome. And for that, we praise God. Amen. Our next hymn, courtesy of the Bluetooth speaker, is In Christ Alone.
Oh,
Let us pray. Do please be seated. Come in prayer to our loving Lord who welcomed us home and whose Son Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Father in heaven, we praise your name for all who have finished this life loving and trusting you, for the example of their lives and for the grace that you gave them. We pray for their peace at last. We praise you today for your servant Keith and for all that you did through him. Meet us in our sadness. Fill our hearts with praise and thanksgiving for the sake of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, the death of Keith brings an emptiness into our lives. We pray, Lord, that you will give us all confidence that he is safe and his life complete with you. And bring us all together at the last to the wholeness and fullness of your presence in heaven. Your saints and angels enjoy you forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, in your great love, you crafted us by your hand and breathed life into us by your spirit. And although, Lord, we became a rebellious people, you did not abandon us to sin. In your tender mercy, you sent your Son to restore us in your image, in obedience to your will. He gave up his life for us, bearing in his body our sins on the cross. And by your mighty power, you raised him from the grave and exalted him to the throne of glory. Rejoicing in his victory and trusting in your promise to make alive all who turn to Christ, we commend our brother Keith to your mercy, and we join with all your faithful people and the whole company of heaven in the one unending song of glory and wisdom and honour be to our God for ever and ever. Amen. Let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, make you perfect in every good work you do to serve his name. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and all that you love, now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.